Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
1103 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. It's Nick Szepkowski, Anthony Herron with you this morning, taking you up until 11:30 here on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Coming up at
11:30.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It will be the Patriots and Chargers. Right. Yeah, so we'll have all that for you.
When the story of this Bears season from 2018 gets told and some of the old-timey NFL music is played, I don't know. I mean, what are they just going to show, like, a lot of defensive touchdowns?
All the group celebrations? That'd be my guess.
A lot of group celebrations, yeah.
Yeah,
So you'd see, like Eddie Jackson running with the pick six in slow motion, and, you know, John Facenda would be kind of, you know, or at least some new version, whatever the modern-day John Facenda would be churning away at Eddie Jackson and what he did. The Alabama Crimson Tide safety did the same thing in college, and now healthy is, and then he starts to weave through traffic, and he gets in the end zone, and then you see the touchdown dances that are there, and that old-timey NFL music would just be kind of playing along in the background while the Bears are doing it. I can picture that in my mind.
I hear that music and I immediately think of the half-hour cuts that they have, like an NFL Network will even play to these days, but the old NFL film Super Bowl recaps.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that's where it automatically takes me to, is like, Super Bowl IV between the Chiefs and Minnesota Vikings was a coming-out party of sorts for one Hank Stratton, whatever it was.
Escape, matriculating, ball down the field, guys.
Hey, 65 toss power trap, boys.
And the music kind of
fades. That's a good one, right, boys?
That's
what I think of when I hear that music. It automatically goes back to the old Super Bowl films, and it's, wow, that sounds like it's the best Super Bowl. Even, yeah, exactly, like this.
Oh, like, see, I'm picturing, like, the steam coming off a guy's head right now.
Yeah.
You know, some bald linebacker or, like, a lineman with his bloody knuckles taped up and, you know, seeing the black paint under the eyes a little bit.
The half-bloody nose and whatever else.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you remember the commercial they had that, like, when this CD came out? It was, like, the NFL music came out on CD. Would have been, like, the late 90s, I want to say. There was a guy with the old Walkman, the old disc, like the CD playing Walkman, putting his CD in. He's going to cut the grass, and he has like this, like blaring, he's pushing the lawnmower, like getting all stoked up. He has his Giants jersey on, or whatever the heck it was. I wanted that so badly
this
as a kid.
Been
I never
a great
got it.
Pre-game jam. I didn't even think about this coming out in the late 90s. Like, I remember the commercial you're talking about, though. I should have bought this. Instead of listening to Busta Rhymes, like, there were some folks on the text line that were reminding me that I'd mentioned Busta Rhymes being one of my pre-game jams that I would always listen to. And this would have been a really good one, just like the old school NFL films music to listen to while I'm getting ready to warm up before a game. I'd have been ready to bite somebody's hell off coming out of the locker room.
You would have been thinking that you're like, hey, I'm going to be on NFL Films. There's going to be a special about me. I'm going to be mic'd up to myself today. Better say something.
Although I would have warmed
up
in slow motion, it's probably what would have happened. Like, I just had to run in slow motion the entire time I was warming up, just in reaction to the music being played in my head.
It's Anthony Herron, Nick Szepkowski with you, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. NFL games coming up today. Chargers and Patriots, like I said, Eagles and Saints, getting you ready for all of that as divisional weekend winds down here in the NFL. Day two of that with the Chargers and Patriots, Eagles and Saints. 312-644-6767, as always, is your number to call. This hour is brought to you by Dennis Miller Live, February 15th at Genesee Theater in Waukegan. One thing we haven't discussed much is the news that came out was like the Friday news dump of sorts. Like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock Friday, it's announced that Chuck Pagano will be the Bears' new defensive coordinator. There was some belief with that. There were some reports linking him to the job. Ultimately, the announcement, the press release gets sent out like 7 o'clock or so, 8 o'clock on Friday night. And Chuck Pagano, the former head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, a man that's been around this league, has spent time with Baltimore as well, some very successful programs. He has been around. Now you're Bears defensive coordinator. What is there anything that you look at, like in terms of Pagano getting hired, that you look at and you're like, okay, well, it's going to be great because of this? Or is it just, all right, this is a guy with experience. It's a guy that's handled success before stepping in and you expect the defense to still perform at an extremely high level because you have what seems to be a competent defensive mind in there.
Well, he had a lot of success when he was defensive coordinator for the Ravens that season. He's been around the block in the NFL quite a bit. And, you know, Ed Donatell was my defensive coordinator when I was both in Green Bay my rookie year and Atlanta my last stop in the NFL. And Ed's a really detail-oriented guy. He did a nice job with how he would set up and schedule our practice week in both stops as well, where we would get a lot of, you know, functional, fundamental work, and that's not necessarily something you see every NFL defense doing, whether it's older teams or younger teams, as far as really putting the work in during the week. Not even, you know, a physical brand of practice during the week, but just making sure you're still going through the techniques and keeping the muscle memory of how you attack blocks and how you get on and off blocks and how you tackle and your pursuit angles and those types of things that can start to erode throughout a season in the NFL, because some coaches will just assume that those things will just stay intact if you make it to the professional level, if you're an older squad. So I know that about Ed Donatell. We saw that level of detail in how the Bears secondary has played under him over the last couple of seasons, especially in 2018, with all the plays that got made and with as well as they tackled, you know, and save Eddie Jackson. But, you know, Eddie certainly had his fair share of takeaways and touchdowns, so I forgive Eddie for missing some tackles, as I've said a number of times. But overall, it was a very well-coached secondary. So that, from my personal experience, I know about Ed Donatell, having been coached by him. Chuck Pagano, I don't really know Chuck as well or in the same manner. What I do know of Chuck is that for what his inequities were, for what the instability was that he showed as a head coach, and the lack of success that was there for the majority of his run with the Colts as a head coach. And we got to remember, a big part of that time, he didn't have his franchise quarterback, Andrew Luck, over the last few seasons of that portion as well. But he's been a successful defensive coach and defensive coordinator, and he's a professional dude. He's going to bring in probably multiple members of his old regime to come in and work with him as well. So I'll be curious to see what that means for the staff that's in place on defense right now. How many of those guys are going to go with Vic Fangio? How many of those guys are just going to look for other opportunities? And how many will potentially lose jobs because Chuck Pagano will want some of his own people in? But he's a professional coach who's been successful at both the collegiate and the NFL level. So I don't have any reason to doubt that with the talent, with the skill, with the tenacity that he's got coming in to work with on this Bears defense, that things shouldn't still be very successful. I mean, can they repeat what they did this year? It's a tall order. I mean, this would have been viewed as a historically competent defense if the mm-hmm. Bears would have advanced into the playoffs for what they were putting together this year. So could they potentially take a step back because they don't have Vic? Sure. But whoever was taking over for Vic Fangio and not just kind of keeping this train rolling, there's a step back that could have been taken from this year. But I don't have any reason to doubt that Chuck Pagano would come in and still have success with this crop of talent.
Yeah, that's when it's like a guy like Chuck Pagano, it's amazing in the NFL how out of sight makes something so out of mind so quickly. Like, Chuck Pagano was an accomplished coach. Say what you want about Bruce Arians and the development of Andrew Luck. Like, his first year there in Indianapolis, they went from 1-15 to a playoff team. They went back to the playoffs and went to the AFC Championship the following year when Bruce Arians had taken the Arizona Cardinals job. Like, Pagano has had success. Did he sustain it? No, not so much. But he loses his job in Indy. Some on him, I think a lot on personnel decisions that were made there, yeah, whether the Trent Richardson trade, some of the other moves that were questionable at best, yeah, that they did, you forget about him. Like, I kind of forgot about, oh yeah, Chuck Pagano still floating around, doesn't have a job there yet. Like, that's a guy that was around the league forever, and okay, it ended poorly when he got a head gig. It doesn't mean he's any less competent as an NFL mind, as a football mind. He was actually on the Ian Rappaport Rap Sheet podcast about a month or so ago and was asked pretty much exactly about that, of getting back into coaching and whether it was a head coach job or coordinator job. And here's what he had to say back then.
Recharge the batteries, if you will. I've been able, you know, with the gig that I had with the National Football League as a consultant, has been awesome. So I've been able to get my football fix in. A couple days a week, enjoy New York City, you know, for a couple days a week, and then get out of there. So it's been a great year. Now that I got that under my belt, kind of chomping at the bit to hopefully have an opportunity to get back in the game.
Yeah, that's him about a month or so ago with Ian Rappaport, and I guess I'm always kind of a little bit curious of when you have a coach that spent that long, not just in the NFL, but in football as a whole, like that's a lifestyle. That's a way of life. I mean, before his run that was 5 years long in Indianapolis, was a DC for a year at the Ravens, despite being, I mean, he was a secondary coach before that. I mean, defensive coordinator in the college ranks at North Carolina, DB coach in the Browns and Raiders in his background. I mean, you pull up his resume, you pull up his career coaching, he has not had a year off that he was not coaching football at some level, whether it was college football or the NFL, since all the way back in 1983. Like, he started as a grad assistant in Southern Cal at 84 and has had a job every year until 2018 in that frame. It's like recharging the batteries. Hell yeah. Oh my God, you've been doing it that long at that high of a level with that much pressure that comes with it. Like, yeah, I can see where recharging the batteries would be good for a guy. I can see where that you finally work your ass off and you get that head job and it ends as badly as it did for him and the Colts at that time. I can see where a year off can be really damn beneficial for yourself and hopefully the Bears benefit from that and getting what has been a very respected mind of this league for going on, what, 2 decades?
And it wouldn't surprise me if we hear from him tomorrow, because the press conference tomorrow will not only, you know, be Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace just kind of reviewing what happened this past season and talking about those things, but it will be the introduction of Chuck Pagano as the defensive coordinator as well. So it should be a meaty press conference, I think, is what we're going to be in for tomorrow. Folks get to hear it here on 670 The Score. And I think that it'll probably come up just with folks trying to get a sense for, you know, the assembled Chicago media will probably try to get Chuck Pagano to sort of discuss how much of the Bears defense did you watch this season? How familiar are you with these current players and with the schemes of Vic Fangio ran, and how similar will your implementation of the odd front be with what Vic did this year and Khalil Mack, and how will you use him within your scheme and those types of things. And I would think that a football guy like Chuck Pagano, he was studying film, breaking down, you know, some of the better defenses in the NFL from this past season. I'm sure he watched the Bears very closely because it was really fun film to watch. A lot of plays got made, and a lot of guys at every level were playing a high-quality brand of football that I'm sure he really enjoyed being able to break down. So, of course, there'll be a different level of detail he'll get into now that he's actually the defensive coordinator, to get into the minutia of the coverages, of the fronts, of which individuals executed things mentally as well as physically in the way that Vic Fangio was calling for and how he would utilize that in his way of calling this defense. But I don't think he's going to come in blind and not having watched the Bears. I'm guessing Chuck Pagano is going to talk a lot tomorrow about how much he's watched this Bears defense coming into this point. And then, you know, the level of depth he'll go into once he actually has them as his crew.
Yeah, it's Anthony Herron. I'm Nick Szczepkowski, 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call if you'd like to talk some Bears with us. Up until Chargers and Patriots comes on your airwaves, pregame show starts at 11:30, so we're taking you up until that. Waukegan and Mike has thoughts on the Bears this morning. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, good morning. How are you guys?
Good, Mike.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I respect you, young man, for playing for the – who did you play for, the Packers and who else?
Played for the Packers, the Lions, and the Falcons.
Wow. All right. It's great. Listen, I gotta say I'm concerned about two things. That going into this next season, the Bears don't have a lot of salary cap space. Now, if they were to dump Kyle Long and Parkey, of course, then they got to sign another kicker, which they need to do anyway, but – they got to open up some cap space there so they can sign some other guys that they need. And I really don't, you know, free agency, obviously there's going to be a limit to that. And they're obviously, I think they only have 4 picks, and they pick for first pick is in the late round of the third round, I believe. So here's my question. When you look at the games that you watched yesterday, you see Kansas City's potent offense, you see the Rams. How are the Bears? This is the team, really what we have out there right now is what we're going to have going into 2019. So I want you guys to explain to me how you think that this is going to actually turn around. How are we all of a sudden just going to become a really good – I know it may be learning and another year under the system, but it just seems like they were not letting Mitch throw down the field. You guys think that's because they knew that he's capable of throwing those picks or – I don't know, guys. What do you think?
I mean, I think you look at it in the game against Philadelphia, when they started throwing the ball down the field, they had success. Maybe part of it's that because you have a great defense and it's part of the philosophy. Part of the idea is don't let a younger quarterback, a guy that's only in his second year, first year still in this system, cost you games and keep him out of harm's way in that sense. But also just don't risk yourself going that way. Kind of thing is also a way that I would look at it and kind of perceive that as well to answer your question. But I think it's Okay, Patrick Mahomes steps in, his first year of actual substantial playing time, first year being the starter, throws 50 touchdown passes and goes and is probably going to win the MVP in 2 weeks or whenever that award's handed out right before the Super Bowl. That's amazing. That's awesome. Great for Patrick Mahomes, great for the Chiefs, great for Andy Reid and company and everything. That's not how it normally happens. Like, I get it. Deshaun Watson had flashes of greatness his rookie season for a 4 week, 5 week span. Then he tears his ACL, and this year had some very high ups. But it's, what would we say about the Texans almost all year long? They're sitting there, and they're looking like they're projecting to be the 2 seed in the AFC. What did everybody say? That is the least feared number 2 seed you can ever remember in the NFL. And what happened week one of the playoffs? The Colts went and just put it on them. It was a 21-7 game. It might as well have been 42-0 because that game was never close, and Deshaun Watson looked terrible in it. Like, progression of a quarterback, development as a quarterback, you don't just hit the ground running. You don't hit the ground sprinting. Like, the Mahomes thing is freakish. It's crazy, and it's great for the NFL. It's great for him. It's great for Chiefs fans. But there's steps along the way. And I think that if you watch Mitch Trubisky throughout the year, to me, the thing that sticks out most is, like, what did we say after week one against Green Bay? Oh, my God, he locks onto one receiver and he doesn't know how to go through a progression. You can't tell me he didn't improve on that throughout the season.
Right.
Thought that the significant steps were taken with that. Mm-hmm. Now you get a full year of that. You get another year of offseason of development and knowing an offense and knowing a system better. I'm not saying the guy's going to be going to Canton. I'm not saying he's going to be winning MVPs and playing in Pro Bowls year in and year out. But there's no reason, there's nothing he's done that you look at so far and you're like, that guy's going to be a bust. You can never win big with him. Hey, look at the guys who have won Super Bowls lately. Nick Foles? Really? You want to tell me that Nick Foles does something that amazing? Like, this recipe, this blueprint the Bears have put out there, you got a chance at great success with it as long as Trubisky continues to improve. And to me, forget your free agent signings. It's not going to be any big free agent. It's going to be whatever steps he takes this year. That's going to be your big addition for 2019 in terms of an offense going from pretty mediocre or average to top third-ish of the league.
It's interesting because the Bears quarterback and their head coach, essentially the two most important people on an NFL in an NFL franchise, your starting quarterback and your head coach, both of those people were basically in their first year. You know, Mitch Trubisky's second year in the NFL. First year as a full-time starter, first year in Matt Nagy's system, and Matt Nagy first year as a head coach after having been around the league for the better part of a decade. But those two individuals, I think we saw growth from each of them throughout the year in their respective roles, and I don't have any reason to think that both of them won't continue to grow. Matt Nagy had his mad scientist thing that he and Mark Helfrich would put together on a weekly basis, and for the most part, he implemented that at a really high level, the offensive game plan throughout the season. You know, it only led to, or whatever it was, 15 points in the playoff game when it came down to it for the Bears, and there are things that will need to be addressed with that. And I think one thing we saw from Matt Nagy throughout the season as well is that he's self-aware enough. He's got enough humility within him where, one, he did surround himself with very accomplished, very competent, very experienced other coaches on the staff. And he did that again in hiring Chuck Pagano. He didn't say, all right, I got a chance to hire my own DC as opposed to being told I'm going to keep Vic Fangio. So I'm hiring my own DC. I'm bringing in some young Thundercat who I can kind of tell him what to do because I knew I wasn't going to be able to tell Vic Fangio what to do. No, he said, let me go out and get another guy who was a former head coach in the NFL, who's far more experienced in the league than I am, and let me again bring in someone who I can trust to just operate, to run that side of the football. He is not a control freak. He is self-aware, and he would say a number of times at the podium after games this season ways that he wanted to be better as a play caller, ways that he wanted to put his team in a better position to succeed, and that he realized he's growing on the job, and he was in certain situations for the first time. These are the types of things you don't normally hear an NFL head coach utter. So that, to me, speaks to his level of self-awareness, the humility that you want from a coach who knows he's skilled, who knows he's got some ballers on his roster, and who believes he's a baller himself with the way he implements a game plan throughout, but then also still has the self-aware nature to say that I'm going to get better at this too. I think that's an amazing combination that the Bears have right now in their head, man. I think you've got a very similar sort of sensibility with their young quarterback, with Mitch Trubisky, because he's got a head coach who admitted there's going to be times in game where I protect Mitch, and he may not know it, but it's going to happen. And as I discussed with you after the game Sunday night, we were on till midnight kind of, you know, eating our feelings away and kind of helping take the city of Chicago through the initial stage of grief after the game ended. And you were there in person and I was on the air and everything else. But we addressed this a bit Sunday night that I felt like he was protecting Mitch throughout the first half of that game. And Mitch did seem a little bit uneven in the first half. But after, Matt Nagy apparently gave him a little rah-rah at halftime and said, hey, if you're healthy, let's roll. We got to cut this loose. And he let him cut it loose a little bit more in the second half. They got into attack mode, and we saw some of Mitch's skills on display. Would have been nice to see that implemented earlier. Could have led to more points. But from a revisionist standpoint, we can't change that past. But I think there were a lot of very positive signs for what we saw throughout the season, what we saw in crunch time, in those moments in the game where Mitch made big time throws. So I don't think none of us have any real big reason to doubt that the future for the Bears and what they have available to them offensively can be very bright, because you see a young quarterback who made, I think, very big strides throughout the regular season.
Yeah, you see that part of it. And if it doesn't take those big strides, if it doesn't take those big steps, and the offense ultimately falters and fails and is a reason that they don't get to a Super Bowl in the next couple of years, that we can all just go on to the Today Show and let our feelings be known to the rest of the country that way. That's Anthony Herron. I'm Nick Szczepkowski. Coming up next, the Chargers and Patriots, spot number 3 of 4 to the conference championships next weekend on the line. Following that, it's Eagles and Saints. Catch them both right here on 670 The Score. And stop with the doom and gloom around the city. We got a winner finally.
Got a winner.
DePaul basketball last night. 79-71, upsetting the Johnnies in New York.
Dave Lato
over St. John's. Dave Lato has the Blue Demons at 10-5.
My wife is Cape Verdean, so I love when Cape Verdeans do well. Glenn Pyers, the Bears linebacker coach, is Cape Verdean. Wayne Fonts, old Detroit Lions coach.
Last time the Lions won a playoff game, Wayne Fonts. That's Anthony Herron. I'm Nick Szczepkowski. Thank you to Eric Edholm, Joe Ostrowski for joining us. NFL playoff football divisional round, Chargers and Patriots next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Viva La Parky!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.